We have a very short gospel today, and it's a little bit confusing with all the glorifying, but I'm going to actually move beyond that because I think the next piece is a little bit more important. And at the heart of the gospel is this short sentence that Jesus gives to his disciples, this new commandment that they are to love one another as I have loved you, he says. And if that sounds familiar to us, it should, because we heard it very recently at our Maundy-Thursday service. And in that context, obviously, it comes to us as we think about what it meant for Jesus to be betrayed, beaten, and hung on a cross. We hear it now again in the context of Jesus' resurrection and the soon coming of the Holy Spirit. Either way, this one verse has become known as the love commandment. And it has led so many as modern followers to understand the heart of Jesus' ministry to be one of love. And as we know, love can encompass a whole variety of things. In this time of spring, when so many things are blooming and just exploding with life, we include in that love between humans and critters. Few have been like I have these last few weeks out on a early morning walk. It seems like the birds all have megaphones. They're just shouting to each other their love songs, hoping that their mate will find them the best one. And the earth itself is exploding into joy with everything blooming as our earth warms, grass turns green, shrubs and flowers are bursting forth with blooms, and I think the leaves just popped completely one day this week. For people also who are maybe reaching the end of high school or college, it's also that time to realize that things aren't going to be the same, and maybe it's time to make some hay or something with people that they love. So this idea of love seems to be abundant. Love or love can also conjure up images of intimacy. And do you hear in my voice this twang of Barry White coming through? But that's not how we see Jesus. And yet, at least since the 1960s, many Christians have thought of Jesus as more loving than stern and judgmental. We lean heavily on stories of his compassionate healings of those who are lame or blind or suffering with mental illness, and those who've been pushed to the margins of society. In a world that too often discards and rejects people, we cling to an image of God and Jesus that always has time for us. But if our concept of Jesus is as a children-hugging kind of buddy friend who loves everybody, we might miss something deeper within this gospel. It helps to put this back in a little bit broader context, going back as far as chapter 12 in John's gospel, when Jesus reminds those who are in his earshot at that time that all that he says comes from God the Father, who, while God wants everyone to listen, will nevertheless pass harsh judgment on those who don't listen and listen very carefully to Jesus' message. So his message of love is linked to accepting and acting on his invitation to have abundant life. And he drills down even more in these verses to come after that. At the beginning of chapter 13, Jesus, we hear, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. This act of servitude freaked out poor Peter, ever the impetuous one who said, "Nope, nope, not going to wash my feet, Jesus." And when Jesus explained what it meant, then he said, "Oh, well, Jesus, Lord, wash my whole body if that's what it means for me to be supportive of you. I'll do anything and everything for you, Jesus." And after that love feast, that Last Supper together, and Jesus warning that one of them would betray him, John tells us that Judas immediately went out, and it was night. In other words, that was a very dark thing to do. So Jesus' words today are set into the context of his best friend soon to completely deny that they were ever together, and another close ally turning in him in for sedition. That's the fullness of the setting today for Jesus' commandment for us to love. Jesus had done something profound in the midst of his disciples. He had shown them the richness that life could be. He had healed many people, showed that God's most earnest desire is that all be healthy and whole. He taught that laws were meant to be guardrails for an abundant life, not as a way to entrap and restrict devotion to God. He had given of himself, been a friend who did not withhold affection or time or energy from his followers. His witness was that everyone should be able to reach out and touch God. And his most fervent wish was that people would see the light that he offered to the world. And yet today it was very clear that even among his most ardent supporters were dedicated people that in a moment of panic and pressure would actively work against his values and principles. He could easily have turned to anger, bitterness, resentment, and hatred. And yet he did not. But I can't imagine the depth of his sadness at that time. In the midst of all of that, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another." And in this Easter post-resurrection season, we understand Jesus' love for us as a love that is shaped primarily by his dying and living again. His ultimate gift of love is giving his life for us. That's not some cute, fancy spring fling love. It's not the kind of love that says, "Well, I think I'll try it out for a little while and see if we were meant for each other," kind of love. Jesus' love for us is like a brand searing into our skin. In our baptismal covenant, we hear that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. This is no superficial commitment. God takes it seriously. Jesus staked his life on it. We know that Jesus' heartfelt commitment to his disciples and all of God's people, wherever and whenever they were there. Today's gospel invites us to think about this new commandment from Peter and Judas' perspective. After this last meal together, I suspect that Peter and Judas both had a lot to mull over. The depth of their longing to be understood, supported, and included had been completely shaken. Judas must have felt, at the very essence, that Jesus betrayed who Judas thought he was. The danger to society from Jesus' new vision of love must have completely been intolerant for Judas. And he felt he was protecting the world from this man, this Jesus, whose ideas were so destructive and so radical that even though he was a good friend, he had to be eliminated. The world could not tolerate his message, his words, or any more of his witness. And so it was finally up to Judas to stop Jesus. He'd made arrangements to turn Jesus in, to stop this movement before things could get completely out of hand. Peter, on the other hand, was indicted by his own actions. He had believed in Jesus' message, felt the burden lift from people's hearts as they were healed, and saw their radiance when ordinary people realized that no one or nothing could keep them from worshiping God freely. He knew that he didn't within himself have the fortitude or emotional wherewithal to do the things that Jesus asked of his disciples, to be the kind of person that Jesus needed him to be. And Peter realized something had to change. For Peter, it was himself. He knew that Judas was absolutely right. Jesus' message in life was going to dramatically transform the world if it got out. There was no way to put this genie back into the bottle anymore. But Peter's conclusion was vastly different from Judas's. He believed Jesus' message was so life-giving that it was worth any price for him to keep it alive. And we hear his transformation continuing in our reading from Acts today. And throughout the first half of Acts, we continue to hear the story of Peter's transformation as he moves from a man who understood life and religion in one way to a whole different way of imagining things. In the end, Peter knew it was about his own life. He had to give Jesus all that he had. So wrapped in our understanding of resurrection, we hear this new commandment again. To love as I have loved you. Giving Jesus all that we have. We are to love as he loved, without reservation, without hesitation, knowing the cost will be great, unpopular, difficult, and doing it anyway. You might have heard the folk song from the 60s say, it says, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love. You know, they will know we are Christians by our love. And the question is, what will they know about us and about Jesus if we don't love like Jesus commanded us? Amen.